Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media site that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message. All right, so we're going to get into the Word today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and our scripture reader today is Ava Helmrich. Yep. Turn it over to you, ma'am.
All right, if we could stand for the Word. Today we're reading Luke 19, 28 through 44. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. "How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are so true and faithful to us. Thank you, Father, that you have gone before us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your Word and that you confirm and reveal truths to each heart. I pray that you would open our ears to listen to all you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the beginning of Holy Week, and Palm Sunday is the beginning of that. So Holy Week is a special week for the Christian faith because it's a week we recognize Christ's ending work on the cross and resurrection. And so as we lead up to Easter Sunday, next Sunday, I would just challenge you to maybe go back and read some gospel accounts of this Holy Week, starting with the triumphal entry, maybe even going back before that, because what's happening here is Jesus is entering into Jerusalem after completing a great and mighty miracle. It's recorded in John that Lazarus, his friend, has been raised from the dead, and that caused a big stir. And so people have heard about this man named Jesus who can raise the dead, who can do miracles, who teaches with authority, who feeds 5,000 people with just a little food. He is this miracle-working man, and they're now gathering to see him in this place as he's riding into town on a donkey, of all things. So what's with this donkey? What's with these people laying their garments on the ground? And Luke's account here doesn't talk about the leaves or the palm leaves, but I'm going to bring those into the equation and talk about those. The other three gospel accounts do talk about the palm leaves. And then also, how do we fit in on that? And where is your peace truly coming from? Where is your peace truly coming from? As I'm looking at you today, some of you do not have peace. There is a chaos reigning in your heart. There's a chaos reigning outside of your life, and you're wondering if Jesus or if there's anything that can calm it. And I want to tell you today that there is. If you get nothing else today, Jesus is the way to peace. There's no other way. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is the only peace you need in this moment. And so Jesus goes, and he tells his disciples to go grab a colt of a donkey and to bring it to him. I found this story hilarious because I don't know about you, but let's put this in modern terms. Two guys show up at your house. They're breaking into your car, and they're going to, you know, they got the, and they're going to take it to somewhere. And you go out there and you're like, what are you doing? And they tell you this, the Lord needs it. What would you respond? Yeah, I don't think so, right? No, it's like, yeah, I don't think so. This is how it is. And so it's kind of funny. The only answer is the Lord needs it. Jesus tells them, go get this donkey. Tell him if he asks, the Lord needs it. And of course, they get the donkey and he rides on this donkey all the way through town into the gate. And as he's riding, the people start throwing their garments, the outer garments, on the ground. And they start shouting and praising and excitedly because this miracle worker has now come to them. And they're thinking maybe in their hearts, maybe this is the king that's been prophesied. Maybe this is the one that we've been waiting for. They've been under this Roman rule for almost 100 years, and they're waiting for the thing to break. And they're wondering if God's going to come through and remove this oppressor from them. And so they lay their garments on the ground. What does that have to do with anything? Well, if you look in scripture and you look at the response of him riding in the donkey, it says in Zechariah 9:9, it has this prophecy about Jesus, about the Messiah. And it goes on like this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you righteous and having salvation. This is why they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord save, Lord save. So he's coming with salvation in his hands, and he's humble and he's mounted on a donkey, a colt of a foal of a donkey. Jesus was very purposeful when he rode in on the donkey. He knew what he was proclaiming at that moment. And in verse 10, it talks about what will happen when he comes. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and river and from the river to the ends of the earth. So he's talking about this coming king that's going to rule all. And they're hoping and they're wondering if this is him. And so they lay their garments on the ground. Where does that come from? Well, laying of the garments is a symbol of submission and allegiance. We get this from 2 Kings 9:12. So there's this man named Jehu who was coming after Jehoshaphat had just died. The king Jehoshaphat had passed away, and Jehu has now been anointed king. This prophet comes and anoints Jehu, and he walks into this room with these men, and they could tell something's different about Jehu. And this is what happens here in 2 Kings 9:12. And so they said, "You're hiding something from us, Jehu. Something's different about you. Something's changed." And they said, "Tell us." And so Jehu told them, he said to me, he's talking about the prophet who anointed him, this is what the Lord said, I have anointed you to be king over Israel. Notice their response immediately. They quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare steps and blew the ram's horn shouting, Jehu is the king. So this was an act of submission, taking the outer garment out and throwing it on the ground. It's an act of saying, you're the king, I'm not. It's a culture, it's an act of honor. And in a culture of public honor, you didn't just say a king was worthy. You showed it by what you were willing to lay down. And in the Christian walk, we don't just say Jesus is king. There's some proof that he's king. It's on what you lay down. We're in the year of the altar as a church. What are you laying down? What are you giving to the Lord? What are you saying, this is yours? See, the outer garment for many represents identity, represents who they are. If you're a biker, like he was talking about, the Iron Faith, they have colors and they wear colors. Why? Because it identifies who they are. If you work outside in a job, maybe your dress, how you dress determines who you are. If you're a police officer, you wear the officer uniform. That determines often who we are. And so we need to learn to lay down our identity at the feet of Jesus. It's giving everything under his rule and under his authority. Are you giving him all today? Are you laying down your garments and saying, Jesus, you are Lord? And then they're waving these palm branches. Like I said, Luke doesn't really record it. All the other three gospels do. They're waving these palm branches and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're all excited. They're waving these palm branches. And at this moment, these palm branches are making a political statement. It's like people waving a certain flag down the road. I can get really political here, but I will not to save you. Okay? They're making a political statement here. They're saying, the real king has come. He's going to overthrow the government. He's going to come in his power. There's going to be a change of rule. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a revolt here happening because that's what the palm branches mean. So where do we get this idea of the palm branches and being a political statement? Well, there's an extra biblical text named the Maccabees. And that is a historical book of the Syrian takeover in Israel and the Maccabean revolt. This happened before Jesus came. And so the Syrians had come in. They had defiled the temple. They have removed the temple, the artifacts. They've come in and defiled it, and they have kicked the people out of Jerusalem. And these Maccabeans, these Maccabean family came in, and they wiped out the Syrians, kicked them out, and then took the town back over. And so they're all excited about what had happened there, and they walk back into Jerusalem, and this is what's recorded here in Maccabees 13:51. On the 23rd day of the second month in the 171st year, the Jews entered it. He's talking about Jerusalem and the temple with praise and palm branches and their harps and cymbals and stringed instruments and with hymns and songs. So they're all excited. Why? Because the great army had been crushed and removed from Israel. These people in this moment seeing Jesus come down riding on a donkey, he's proclaiming his kingship, and they're waving palm branches saying, this is just like what the Maccabeans did. He's going to come down and he's going to remove Rome from our midst. He's going to destroy the enemy. And they're all excited about this possibility of what Jesus could do. Here's the truth. These people were looking for a Messiah, but not the one that came. These people wanted peace, but Jesus didn't give them the peace that they hoped for. So the people had hope in Jesus, but they didn't really get what they wanted. Then there was these Pharisees, right? These guys walk into the mix. These people are shouting, Hosanna. They're all excited about what Jesus is doing and the disciples are doing. And these Pharisees are seeing this commotion. They're seeing them wave the palm branches, knowing like, they're declaring against Rome. They're declaring against our established system. And they tell Jesus, tell these people to be quiet. Tell your disciples to stop. You're gonna make a riot happen and a revolt happen. And Rome's going to come and wipe us out. And they're going to remove us from our place. And so they're thinking they're doing a good thing. But really, they didn't know who Jesus was either. If anybody should have known who Jesus was and the King of Glory was, it should have been the Pharisees. When he started coming down the Hill of Olives, they should have immediately took off their outer priest garments and thrown them on the floor first. Because you're the king, you're the heavenly one. But they didn't recognize it because Jesus didn't fit their narrative. How many people don't come to faith, or how many people reject Christ because he doesn't fit into their narrative? Many people want a Jesus that fits their view. They want a Jesus that fits who they are, what they think. Jesus is Jesus. If he doesn't fit your narrative, then maybe your narrative needs to change. See, Jesus comes riding in. So the people hoped he was king. The Pharisees doubted he was the king. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus says, if you tell me to be quiet, if you tell them to be quiet and if they shut up, the rocks will cry out. Yes. Meaning all of creation will testify of who I am. I did some research this week on, do rocks really sing? Do they like really cry out? Like, what is this? And every planet has its own frequency. It's pretty cool. Went online. It's got to be true. It's online, right? But every planet, this is actually how they find stars and stuff. Every planet has a radio frequency. Now, it doesn't travel through space because of the vacuum, so sound doesn't travel through the vacuum of space, but they do can take these radio frequencies that these planets emit and make an audio track to them here on Earth. And it's very, really, some of it's pretty creepy, but a lot, it's very beautiful. And so what I'm saying this to you is I'm declaring that the rocks can cry out. Creation itself declares God to be the creator. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, they can be quiet, they can shut up, but I'm telling you, the very rocks that I'm standing on are testifying to who I am. Why? Because they're waiting for redemption. Scripture says that the whole creation is awaiting the redemption of mankind. Why? Because the earth itself was subject to the curse when man sinned. The whole earth was subject. So redemption comes to the whole earth, not just to man. So they're happy that Jesus is there. Even the rocks are happy that Jesus is there. So the rocks know who Jesus is. The Pharisees rejected who Jesus was, and the people hoped he was who he said he was. And then we get to this point, and this is what I really want to focus on today. He walks in to the temple, and he starts weeping over the city. Why? They were just praising him out there. They were just shouting his praises. They were so happy he was there. There was a parade out there in his name. And then he gets to the city, and he starts weeping. And he says this, if you had only known the way to peace. Because he knew that in 5 days, they're going to crucify him. And peace was riding into the city, riding into the temple, and yet they missed it. They thought that peace was going to come from the removal of the thing that's holding them back. They thought that peace was going to come when he displaced Rome and brought in his own rule. They thought that peace was, the outside peace they needed was from an outside removal of something. But Jesus came to give an inside peace. Jesus didn't come to revolt against Rome. He came to give us a revival with the Lord. He came to give us redemption with God. He had to establish his kingdom through us before he comes back and removes the rest. This was Jesus' assignment. This is why he was weeping. He said, you were praising me, but you missed it. His heart broke over the city that should know him the best, and they missed him in that moment. Jesus came to bring reconciliation to your life. And too many of us think that peace comes from the outside. But Jesus says it comes from the inside. This is why so many people rejected Christ. And this is why so many of us have at one point rejected Jesus. See, because Jesus, when he comes into your life, things get a little more complicated. I don't know if somebody told you that when Jesus comes to your life, it's going to be gravy. It's going to be complicated. He complicates things. Why? Because he's removing the things in your life that God says that's not who you are anymore. And so you have this internal conflict going on. But even in that internal conflict, there is peace. There's a very old Sanctus Real song. I'm probably telling my age. But in that song, the lyrics go something like this. They say, whatever you're doing inside of me, it feels like chaos, but somehow there's peace. And when you come to know Jesus, there is this chaos because there's things in you that are dying, but Jesus is bringing things to life, and there's peace there. And often, we don't get the peace that we think we want, and so we reject Christ. And I want to tell you today that you think that peace is from an absence of conflict, but really peace comes from the presence of someone. It comes from Jesus. He was present in that place and they missed it. Today, you may have been in this, you may be in this place today. I don't want you to leave here and miss it. Don't miss his peace. He's riding into your life and he wants to bring peace into your life. And true peace only comes from our surrender and our making him Lord of our life. That's where peace comes, where his presence is in our life. Jesus wants to bring peace to you. Will you let him? Because true peace isn't going to come when he fixes your circumstances. It's not going to come when he pulls you out of your consequences. It's only going to come when you allow him to come into your life and set up residence. You may accept Christ today. You may have been singing this morning, God, you're so good. Praise the Lord, praise. Yeah, all that good stuff. But then, where are you at the end of the week? Scripture says most people last about 5 days. They'll have this encounter with the Lord. They'll have this experience with Jesus. And then by the end of 5 days, they're like, this isn't what I signed up for. Jesus, I thought when I said yes to you, like all this stuff was going to change. And here's what I know about you, and here's what I know about me. Just because I accept Jesus in my life doesn't mean the outside stuff changes. I've taken enough kids to youth camp to know that. You send these kids to youth camp for a week, their lives are radically changed. Everything's different on the inside of them, but they get home, the same people, the same circumstance, the same issues, and it starts to wear them down. Why? Because the chaos on the outside was greater than the peace on the inside, because they didn't have a support system. And today, maybe you're like this. There's chaos on the outside, and there was peace on the inside, but now it's just starting to go away. And you're being worn, you're getting torn down, and I'm telling you, all you got to do is let him back in. Yes. And that peace will come. He wants to bring peace to you. He is the only way to peace. There's no other way. In your marriage, he's the only peace you need. When I first came to faith, and me and my wife were not getting along, say that lightly. We were on the verge of divorce. And I remember going to the woods back here. I was the woods in the church. I was crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, change my wife. If she would just change, everything would get better. God, straighten her out. Why can't she just see things the way I need her to see things? And the problem was, that was my whole prayer life. God, change my job. Change my boss. Change the people I work with. Change the people that come in and talk to me at my job. Change the customers. Change this. Change that. God, you change. Everything on the outside needs to change. Right? I'm thinking, God, you got to change all this for this to have peace. And it wasn't until the Lord rebuked me and said, look, you got to change. Change comes from here, not out there. Peace comes from here, not out there. You know when our marriage started turning around? When I stopped praying that. I started praying, God, change me. Who does she need me to be? What kind of father do I need to be for my children? What kind of employee do I need to be for my boss? Lord, who do you want me to be? Change me. And I'm telling you, there was so much more peace. Even though I went to the same job with the same people and the same customers that cussed me out every day, and I went home to the same wife I love. She didn't cuss me out every day. Just letting you know that. She could have. She probably needed to. But there was something different in me because I was missing the peace. Because I thought peace was all this going away. But really, peace was him coming into my life and saying, you are Lord of my life. You are the King of glory. You are the one that I follow. I'm laying everything at your feet. I'm taking off all of my garments. I'm laying myself bare to you. Everything that covers me. Everything that hides who I am, I'm giving it to you, and I'm laying it at the feet of the King of Glory. That's when your life changes. No other way. And that's why he was weeping over the city. He's like, you think when Rome leaves, you're going to be at peace? No, no, no. There's always going to be somebody else coming in. There's always, now there's Iran. There's always going to be somebody coming up against you. Peace doesn't come from an absence of conflict. It comes from the presence of a Savior in your life. It can be storming on the outside. It can be chaos on the outside, but there's peace. It's a story in the Bible where Jesus is in a boat with his disciples. And it says a great storm had risen while they were in the Sea of Galilee. And the thing is, Jesus is sleeping at the bow on a pillow. They're struggling to survive. They think they're going to die. Water's coming in the boat. The storm's getting crazy. It's pushing the boat wherever it's going to go. They think they're going to capsize and die. And they come to Jesus and they're like, Lord, wake up. It's like, do you not know we're about to die? We're going to drown here? There's a storm. And Jesus gets up and is like, what's going on? I don't know if he did that or not. But he looks at them and he's like, guys, peace, be still. It says immediately the storm stopped and the water calmed. That's a double miracle. One word, two miracles. It became like glass, the water. And the disciples looked and says, who is this man who can calm the sea and the storm? Who is this man that brought peace out of chaos? And here's the thing. Jesus was with them, sleeping on a pillow. He wasn't worried. They would have been fine. But yet, he still met them in their moment of need. And today, I'm telling you, there may be a storm on the outside. There may be chaos on the outside of your life. But if you got Jesus in your boat, you're going to be okay. Yes. You're going to be okay. And sometimes it feels like Jesus is sleeping. Can I just be honest? Like he doesn't know what's going on. But he knows. As long as you have him present in your life, he's going to bring peace to your life. If I get the worship team and the altar team to come up. I want to close with this psalm, Psalm 24, 1 through 10. And you're like, what does this psalm have to do with Palm Sunday? It has a lot to do with it. Because David, the psalm writer here, I believe is going through a chaotic moment in his life. And he's having to remind himself of who God is in his life. And so this is a good illustration of who God is and what he's done. Because Jesus is the King of Glory. They were right when he came to town saying he was a king. But he wasn't King of Glory to them. He was just a king to remove Rome. It opens up. David the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. That tells me God has power over all people. They're all his. The people coming against you, the people gossiping against you, the people that hate you, the people that mock you, the people that hate the Jesus in you, they belong to God. They don't belong to you. Let God take care of it. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. He established the world. All the chaos that happens in this world, God knows. He's not surprised by it. He didn't wake up to go, oh, I didn't know that happened today. Wow, that took me by surprise. God knows all. He knows your situation. He knows what you're in. He knows the storm you're in. But it says he founded the seas. He founded the waters. You may be drowning today, but he's still God of the water. In kids' church today, they're learning about the Red Sea parting and the people walking into the promised land. That same God still parts waters today. Yes. That same God can still part the water that's tormenting your soul today. You may feel like the Israelites, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but God can move the hard places. And it goes on to say, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? It's a question. Only those with hands and hearts that are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. Jesus makes you clean. Jesus gives you the right to ascend the hill, to ascend the mountain. And you know what the prize is when you ascend the hill of the Lord? It's not heaven. It's not a palace. It's not mansions. It's not crowns. It's not angel wings, what people would say. You know what you get? You know what the greatest thing you can have in your life is? His presence. It's his presence in your life. And you don't have to wait to heaven for heaven to get there. You can have his presence right now in your life. Nothing is better than his presence. Chaos on the outside, peace on the inside. And then he goes on with this declaration, and I pray we declare this today. Open up, you ancient gates. Open up, you ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Palm Sunday, Jesus comes out of the Mount of Olives, riding into Jerusalem. Many believe he went through the Eastern Gate. The Eastern Gate is where the King, the Messiah, was supposed to come in to establish his kingdom. If you go to Jerusalem today, that Eastern Gate is boarded up. It's bricked up. They put a graveyard in front of it because Jews don't touch unclean things. And so they're making sure that the King of Glory didn't walk through that Eastern Gate. But I'm telling you that he will still come through that Eastern Gate. Doesn't matter if there's bricks there, dead bodies there. It doesn't matter. And here's the thing I want to tell you today. Doesn't matter how hard your heart is. Doesn't matter how many bricked up things there in your life that's keeping the King of Glory out. When he wants to get in, he's going to get in. Yes. Don't matter how many dead things are in your life. He can move through it because he's the King of Glory. Yes. And so I'm asking you today just to open your heart. Let the King of Glory in. Open up the gates of your hot life and let the King of Glory in. He wants to bring peace to you. Then he goes, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up, you ancient gates. Open up, you ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. Jesus, on Palm Sunday, rode in on a donkey. Humble, gentle, righteous. That was his invitation to a relationship with the Father. He's saying, if you know me, you know the Father. One day, he will not enter in on a donkey. He will enter in on a war horse. And when he does that, I pray that you know him. I pray that you found the peace before the Prince of Peace comes, because he will not be bent on peace. He will be bent on war. And he will make all things right. His kingdom is established now, and it will be established then forevermore. So I pray today you would have the right choice. Let the King of Glory in your life. Would you stand? I want you to ask yourself this question. Number one, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Maybe you're hoping he's the way of peace. You haven't seen it yet, but you're hoping. Hold on to that hope, because you've held on to the right thing. Maybe you're the Pharisee. Jesus doesn't fit your narrative, doesn't fit the way you think. Doesn't fit your lifestyle. He doesn't check the boxes of what a true Messiah would look like in your life. And you're having a hard time saying yes to him. I would ask you to ask the Lord to change your mind. To say, Holy Spirit, would you begin to change my thoughts of who Christ is? And not only that, change my thoughts of who God is. Show me who you are, Lord. That's a great prayer to pray. I tell people that all the time I meet in public that are unsure about Jesus. I'm like, just ask Jesus to reveal himself to you this week. And you know what? Most of the time they come back and say, hey, Jesus showed me himself this week. Jesus will show you. Or maybe you're the rock. Hard, bitter. Ain't nothing coming out of you. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the pain. This is the only protection I have, is to close off my heart. But I'm telling you, as one who is hard as granite, my heart was granite, that this rock cried out. And if this rock can cry out, then your rock can cry out. Because he is the Lord. He is the King of glory. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the way of peace. And I pray that he breaks that hard heart and gives you a heart of flesh to love again, to believe again, to have peace again. The altars are open. They're going to lead us in a song. And if you need prayer for anything, come get prayer. They want to pray with you. If you need healing, he's still the healer. I talked to somebody this week. I prayed for last week. And they said, you know, after you prayed for me, that pain hasn't touched me. And he's like, that's amazing. Amen. It happens all the time. It's not weird. That's what God does. Yes. He's a healer. Yes. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you just need to, you need help. Maybe you got chaos right now in your life. Can't sleep at night. Come on, man, I've been there. Can't sleep at night, rolling around in your bed. Right here, just a knot. And you need peace, come to Jesus. He'll give you peace. I want to declare this over you, and then I'm going to open the altars up, and then we're going to close after this song. Let the King of glory in. Throw down your coats. Lay down your identity. Lay down your desires, your influence, and your power. Let the King of glory in. He is strong in battle. Let the King of glory in. Let him ride into your hearts. Let him ride into your soul, into your situation. Let the King of glory in. Praise his name. Praise his name forever, for he is high and lifted up, exalted above all men, all kings, all priests. He is exalted above all heavenly hosts and over all things. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is glorified through his death, through his burial and resurrection. Jesus is the way of peace. He is the way of peace. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. So come if you need prayer. Father, I pray you draw everyone up that needs prayer today, God, that you would bring peace into their hearts and into their lives. God, you are the only one that gives peace. In Jesus' name, amen.